Welcome, everybody. This is the Triple Coverage Podcast. I am your host, Balint Kovac, and with me today is Kevin Ostreicher, the host and producer of the Lockdown Raven podcast and also the contributor of the Ravens Wire. He is covering the Baltimore Ravens for this podcast and for this website. So in this show today, we will talk about Ravens things. But first of all, hi, Kevin. How is your day going?
It's going well. Thanks for asking. I'm excited to get on here and talk about some Ravens football here. It's an exciting time here in Baltimore.
Yeah. But first of all, please introduce yourself to our audience, where we can find your work, where we can contact you on Twitter.
Yeah, I'm Kevin Ostreicher. I'm the host and producer of the Locked On Ravens podcast. And we put out content there 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. Eastern times when our content drops. And I also write for Ravens Wire as a contributor. I write articles over there about Ravens opinions and news. And my Twitter is at ChaosStriker34. And the Locked On Ravens podcast, where I post episode updates, is at Locked On Ravens.
Great. Thank you. So let's just start it. I wanted to talk first about the 2020 season of the Ravens, how it is, how it went good, how it went wrong. How was your feeling about the whole process from the 2020 season?
Yeah, for the Ravens, even for the whole NFL, the league was put into a loop when the whole coronavirus pandemic hit. They had to adjust their off-season times, when people were meeting, how people were meeting. And for the Ravens, they were honestly, in the season, probably the hardest hit team from COVID, with having over 20 players put on the COVID list at once. They had to play the Pittsburgh Steelers with what people were calling their almost triple A team, just guys who were coming off the practice squad. They couldn't even field the whole team. But overall, for the Ravens, after Lamar Jackson's MVP season in 2019, I expected some type of statistical regression, just because he was so great in 2019 that sometimes, you know, guys just can't replicate that success. But that didn't mean that Lamar Jackson didn't have a good year in 2020. He improved in some key areas, struggled in some others as well. He's still a young guy, still improving day in and day out. But I think overall, I consider the 2020 season a success, just because the Ravens won 11-5. They went through a rough stretch and they ended up coming back, winning their last five games and making the playoffs as a wild card, playing the Tennessee Titans and getting their first playoff win since the 2014-2015 season, which in my book is a step in the right direction. Obviously, every team's goal is to win a Super Bowl, but that can't happen for all 32 teams every single season. So with the Ravens, they advance, they win a playoff game, they have a disappointing end to their season with that loss to Buffalo in the divisional round. It definitely did not go the way Ravens fans and the Ravens organization expected. But I think, you know, starting off hot in week one against Cleveland, that was a great start. They try to find their identity. It seemed like, you know, the Ravens were this great rushing team in 2019, and they didn't really have an identity in the 2020 season. For the first half of the year, they finally get back to running the football a good amount over those last five games, and they go 5-0 and they win those five games. So they are a rushing team. That doesn't mean they can't throw the football. It doesn't mean that Lamar Jackson isn't a good quarterback, but I do think that in my book, the 2020 season was a success, regardless of the fact that the Ravens didn't advance past the divisional round once again. But now it's how can they take that next step forward in 2021?
The rookie class was important in 2020. How do you evaluate, for example, the rookie linebackers and J.K. Dobbins, for example?
Yeah, Patrick Queen was the Ravens' first round pick in 2020, and someone who I don't think a lot of people expected to fall to Baltimore. And he led this team with 106 total tackles. He had three sacks, two passes defended, an interception. He had a fumble return for a touchdown, and also two forced fumbles and two fumble recoveries. So all across the board, statistical wise, Patrick Queen was a stud for the Ravens, but he did have some up and down moments. Yeah. He wasn't all that consistent. He lacked in coverage at times, and he is a sideline to sideline linebacker. He showed some really nice instincts at times, but Patrick Queen is a rookie, and for all rookies across the league in 2020, they didn't have the time in the offseason to get acclimated with the NFL game. They didn't have a preseason. So by the time week four rolls around in the regular season, that's pretty much Patrick Queen's fourth preseason game. And so he's learning the NFL on the fly. So it was a little bit to be expected for Patrick Queen to struggle a little bit, especially with the lack of starting time he had at LSU in college. But I think overall, moving on to next year, Patrick Queen is going to be a stud. He's going to improve. And then you mentioned J.K. Dobbins. I mean, he was someone who a lot of Ravens fans, when they first started out, when J.K. Dobbins was picked, it wasn't a very popular pick. The Ravens had Mark Ingram. They had Justice Hill. They had Gus Edwards. And people are saying, well, why add another running back to this team that's already such a good rushing team? And the Ravens, they pick the best player available whenever they can. And for Dobbins, he was the number one rated running back on their board. So, of course, he drops to them, and they love the pick. He goes for 805 yards on 134 attempts, 6.0 yards per carry, led the league in terms of running backs. Yeah, he was an insane contributor for them and didn't really start off the year great. He wasn't really used by the Ravens, but 9 touchdowns for him on the ground. He was someone who the Ravens relied on heavily during the back half of that 2020 season. Moving into 2021, he's going to be a big contributor for them. And in the rest of the class, they did okay. Devin Duvernay, the wide receiver out of Texas, wasn't used a bunch. Same with James Prochet, the receiver out of SMU. Malik Harrison, next to Patrick Queen, had some nice moments, but wasn't really used. The offensive line, Tyree Phillips, got a bit of run at guard and tackle, but didn't really perform all that well. So moving into this next season, I expect a big jump from a lot of these guys that Baltimore drafted.
So what was the biggest issue that was made in the playoffs that made them fall out of the contention against the Buffalo Bills?
Yeah, that game against Buffalo was tough. It still hurts me to talk about sometimes. But for this Ravens team in that game, I think both teams were impacted by the weather. Now, that's just an excuse. Yep. It obviously wasn't the main reason Baltimore lost the game. On offense, they just didn't come out strong. Buffalo's defense played exceptionally well. They had a game plan for this Baltimore offense. The Ravens' defense played exceptional. They played really good football outside of one or two drives, I'd say. But for the Ravens offense, Lamar Jackson didn't seem to be on point in that game. J.K. Dobbins had a bunch of drop balls. But the main concern, I would say, that lost the Ravens that football game was the offensive line. The offensive line had a terrible performance across the board. And throughout the whole season, the Ravens were kind of patchworking together a group. In the offseason, they lost a Hall of Fame guard, a future Hall of Fame guard, Marshall Yanda. Ronnie Stanley goes down for the season against Pittsburgh earlier in the year. So they have to move Orlando Brown from the right side to the left side. They're kind of putting in new centers and new tackles and new guards almost every single week. And finally, the whole thing almost just, I guess, blew up in their face because Patrick McCurry can't snap the football and balls go behind Lamar Jackson, over Lamar Jackson's head. The guys are in the defensive backfield 1 second into a play. And regardless of how good your quarterback is, how good your running backs are, it doesn't matter if there's a defensive player in the backfield with, you know, right as the play starts, because no play is going to get started there. So the Ravens have a lot of opportunities to get better in the offseason and hope that offensive line performance doesn't happen again in the playoffs, because it sure did not help their chances of winning. And I think, honestly, their offensive line lost them that game, unfortunately.
We didn't mention the 2020 passing game, which was sometimes hard to watch. The dysfunctionality of this passing offense was a bit of an issue. How do you think?
Yeah, the passing offense wasn't the strong suit of this team, I'll definitely say. This is a running football team first and foremost, but in order to win at the NFL level, you have to have a good passing game to go along with a good running game, and vice versa. If you have a good passing game, you have to have a good running game to switch it up, because in the NFL, your run offense can feed off of your pass offense, and your pass offense can feed off of your run offense. So if you're running the ball 50 times a game, teams are going to key in on that, stack the box, and you're not going to be able to run the football because there just won't be enough guys to block in there. So you have to work with play action, which the Ravens did to an extent, but still didn't do a ton in 2020, all things considered. The Ravens also lost Hayden Hurst in the offseason. Hurst wanted a bigger role and was traded to the Atlanta Falcons for the pick that actually was the J.K. Dobbins selection. Yeah. So with Hayden Hurst, the Ravens used a lot of three tight end sets in 2019. It was good because teams would put in their heavier personnel anticipating a run play with three tight ends on the field. But in reality, the Ravens used play action and used motion to get defenses off kilter, and they would use play action and Mark Andrews would run up the field and Hayden Hurst would go this way and Nick Boyle would go that way. And it'd be a passing play, but the defense wouldn't have enough defensive backs or enough speed on the field to match that. So the Ravens would pick teams apart there. The Ravens did not replace Hayden Hurst in the 2020 offseason, so they went into the year with pretty much two tight ends. Nick Boyle goes down in the middle of the season. Yep. And so that took away a big part of the Ravens' passing offense. Also, the Ravens just truly right at this moment don't have a true number one receiver. I mean, we've seen what DeAndre Hopkins can do for Kyler Murray and Stephon Diggs can do for Josh Allen. But with Lamar Jackson, Hollywood Brown is a phenomenal player, but he's just not there yet as a receiver. And he has all the potential. He has 15 touchdowns over his first 2 years in the league. But the bigger disappointment for me out of the two was Miles Boykin, who was picked in the third round at Notre Dame. And he just hasn't performed, doesn't seem to be on the same page with Lamar Jackson. So getting Lamar Jackson some real weapons in the offseason, whether it be through free agency or the draft, I think is the number one thing for this Ravens team to do to help Lamar Jackson. But also, as I mentioned earlier, protecting Lamar Jackson with a good offensive line is also up there as well.
Yeah, and this is when we arrive to the free agency period, where we can talk about all of the positions, offense and defense. For example, the offensive line or wide receiver help or tight end help. But first of all, before we talk about the new signings or perhaps new signings, how do you see the free agency period from the side which players will depart from Baltimore, which will be the hardest loss? For example, if you can think about the pass rush, it will be tough to retain all those guys.
Yeah, right now the Ravens, in their pass rush department, 5 of their 6 edge rushers are entering free agency. Yeah. And that's tough because the Ravens are going to have to decide who to bring back, who to let go, as you talked about there. So Matthew Judon and Yannick Ngakoue are two guys who the Ravens relied on a lot in 2020.
Superstars. And I think,
to a lot of people, had great prior seasons, but in 2020, it was kind of up and down. The Ravens weren't really a high sack team. They didn't really get pressure on the quarterback when it mattered in certain games. And the Ravens almost, they have a stud secondary, Marlon Humphrey, Marcus Peters, and all those guys. But for the pass rush, it doesn't seem likely that Matthew Judon and Yannick Ngakoue will return. I think it'd be a lot more likely that Pernell McPhee, who is an underrated pass rusher, who also plays the run really well, really physical up at the line, is going to return. He said he loves Baltimore, would love to come back. Jihad Ward is someone who had a little bit of a, I don't know if I'd call it a falling out, but had a little bit of a disagreement with coaches over playing time, it seemed like. I would love him back in Baltimore. It seems like he'd be a great fit for this team, but we'll see how that all plays out for them. Other guys who seem likely to leave at this point, Dez Bryant went on Twitter and pretty much said that he enjoyed his time in Baltimore, but it's not the right fit for him. And then
Dez being Dez.
Right, exactly. And Willie Snead also seems out the door. Matt Skura had a pretty brutal 2020, and it doesn't seem like the Ravens are going to want to retain his services. DJ Fluker, up and down year for him as a one-year guy, but doesn't seem like he's coming back either. So the Ravens will certainly have a bunch of holes to fill on this roster, but they certainly could bring guys back. Tyus Bowser, his market right now doesn't seem to be as big as a lot of people are thinking. So if the Ravens can get him back for anywhere from $5 to $8 million a year, I mean, that's a steal for a guy who really improved in 2020. So the Ravens have some tough decisions to make here.
Yeah. It's great that you mentioned Tyus Bowser, because I think if he will return to Baltimore in 2021, he will have a really big breakout season, I think. But we didn't touch Orlando Brown and his saga in Baltimore.
Yeah, the Orlando Brown saga, as a lot of people call it here, it's a tough one. He moves over from the right side to the left side with Ronnie Stanley's injury and performs pretty well. He was really a beacon of consistency over there. Didn't really have too many bad snaps over there. And he was great for them, and it just showed off his versatility. But now it seems like he's a left tackle. He has said pretty publicly, look, I am a left tackle. The reason being, not because he doesn't like the Ravens. He's come on record and he said he loves the Ravens. He loves Eric DaCosta. He loves the organization and his teammates. But his dad, the late Orlando Brown Sr., was a left tackle. And, Orlando Brown was a left tackle at Oklahoma in college, performed really well there. The Ravens move him over to the right side because Ronnie Stanley is arguably the best tackle in the league. And you're not going to displace him from his position for Orlando Brown. And now it seems like the Ravens have a tough decision to make. Do they try to capitalize on his value now and trade him for a first-round pick if they can get it, a second-round pick if they can get it, or do they just keep him on the roster here in 2021 and kind of cut their losses? If he does leave, if Orlando Brown does leave, he will most likely, his contract will qualify for a 2022 third-round compensatory pick. So it's not like he would leave for nothing. Yeah. But right now, Orlando Brown, I think, embraces the role at right tackle. He doesn't hate it, but his ideal preference would be to start at the NFL level at the left tackle position. So if he stays in Baltimore in 2021, which honestly it's seeming more and more likely at this point with each day that goes by, we get closer to the draft, and that means it'd almost be less draft compensation for the Ravens. But if he stays and then he leaves in 2022 free agency, the Ravens would get a pick back, but they're losing a stud tackle there, so it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out for sure.
Basically, he wants to pay to be a left tackle.
Exactly.
All we can hear about this. But how about the new signings? Which player do you want to see on this Baltimore team on offense and on defense?
Yeah, a couple guys on both. I think that the Ravens, again, with the offensive line the way it is right now, it's important for them to be able to shore up that line with veterans. And it's a very young group right now. They don't really have any veterans at this point. DJ Fluker, who was really their only veteran, is now entering free agency. So I think that you can sign some cheap veteran interior offensive linemen, but I think they should go a step further than that. I think they should target the top guys. There's Joe Tooney from the New England Patriots, who we just found out is not going to be franchise tagged by the Patriots. So he enters the open market, someone who has experience at guard, but also center and a bit of tackle. The Ravens love that versatility. Corey Linsley is someone who the top centers on the market for the entire league, really. They don't command these $20 million a year contracts or anything. They're reasonably priced. I mean, if you get a guy for $10, $11 million and you can have one of the best centers in the league for Lamar Jackson, no snapping issues, good blocking, I think that's very worthwhile for this team. But I think the number one issue a lot of people are pressing on is, can you get Lamar Jackson that wide receiver? Can you get him the weapons around him? And with the news that Allen Robinson and Chris Godwin are both getting franchise tagged, it seems like really Kenny Galladay and Corey Davis and Curtis Samuel, Juju Smith-Schuster are those top tier receivers. Kenny Galladay, I think, is in a tier of his own, but then you have the Corey Davis guys and the Juju Smith-Schusters and the Curtis Samuels. The Ravens, I think, are out of Kenny Galladay's price range. I think that with the cap they have, they just can't do that. But Corey Davis is someone I love. He's physical. He's speedy. He's underratedly speedy, but he fits a need in this team because the Ravens have the slot guys. They have guys who can play out of the slot. It's Marquise Brown. It's Devin Duvernay. It's James Prochet. So the Ravens need some physical guys on the outside because they're losing that in Dez Bryant. And Miles Boykin doesn't seem to be that right now. So Corey Davis is someone I like. Curtis Samuel, he's a gadget guy. Does a lot of different things on the field. Severely underrated. But I think that the Ravens could use a couple of guys. Marvin Jones is also someone I've seen linked. I would be careful not to overpay for Marvin Jones. I think with the right deal, he'd be a phenomenal fit. But you don't want to put too much of your cap into somebody who is kind of on the tail end of his career, maybe doesn't fit the Ravens timeline as well as a Corey Davis or a Curtis Samuel. So we'll end up seeing what happens there. And then I think tight ends, you could look at a Kyle Rudolph or Jared Cook, someone to help Lamar Jackson out on those three tight end sets. So there's a lot of interesting free agents out there the Ravens could go after.
Yeah, I just thought about Juju and his TikTok videos. It would be difficult to maintain this TikTok thing if he goes to Baltimore, because I don't think the locker room will appreciate it. But the safety position is also kind of an issue. But they have Clark. They have names around him, but a guy linked to Baltimore is Xavier Woods. It would be a nice option.
He would be a good option. I think with the Ravens, Deshaun Elliott performed admirably in his role as free safety in 2020. Earl Thomas gets cut almost like a week before the season, 2 weeks before the season. So Deshaun Elliott has to come in, learn a whole new position at the NFL level, pretty much learning throughout the entire year. And, you know, he wasn't perfect, but I think based off of everything, he had a great season for this team. But now in the offseason, the Ravens have more time. They can decide to go after somebody who was that true back end. He can play in single high. He can do a bunch of stuff like that. And then even if the Ravens do sign a guy like Xavier Woods or a guy like his Trey Boston or Malik Hooker, the Ravens could still use Deshaun Elliott and Chuck Clark on the field at the same time with that free safety, because Chuck Clark in 2019 played a bunch of dime linebacker. They put him up in the box. And then what that would do is you could move Deshaun Elliott over to his natural position at free safety, or at strong safety, and then put a guy like Xavier Woods, Trey Boston, Malik Hooker at the free safety position. So the Ravens, they do a bunch of different things with their defenders. And I mean, they love every second of it, putting big guys into coverage and rushing safeties, rushing corners. So getting a safety who is versatile, can play a bunch of different roles and a bunch of different positions, will open up this defense even more for sure.
Yeah. And they will be helped. They will get help from Juice and Fruit Punch, and this secondary would be awesome if they go in big nickel or big dime defending the pass. So yeah, and this is when we turn our face to the draft. And how do you see the overall draft strategy of the Baltimore Ravens, and how do you see them attacking each of the rounds? For example, in the first 2 days.
Yeah, for the Ravens, I think, honestly, their draft strategy isn't going to be finalized until they figure out what's going on with Orlando Brown. Because with that situation, you don't want to go into the year with nobody. And for the Ravens, if they don't have a guy to replace Orlando Brown, it might be tough for them because they saw what happened when a star tackle went down for them in 2020. And it's, in some instances, it was not pretty. But I do think the Ravens will prioritize edge. I think offensive line is a key issue for this team, as I've mentioned. And then wide receiver, if the Ravens don't sign a big guy, a big name wide receiver in free agency, I could certainly see them drafting one in the first two rounds. I personally have been an advocate to not draft a receiver in this draft at all for the Ravens, just because they have four young guys right now. I assume they keep six on the roster total. And if you draft two receivers in this draft, let's say that's all 6 year guys being in their third year or less, where certain veterans, if they come into a team, know how to get into soft spots on defenses or go and work back to a quarterback to help them out when they're in trouble. So, you know, if there's talent on the board, you don't pass up on the talent, obviously, but you know, if there's a bigger need somewhere else, for example, at the interior of the offensive line, at the edge position, safety is another one that I could see in the first round. Those are all guys you could go after. And then in day two, I could see the Ravens again, just those needs in general. I could see them also maneuvering up and down the draft. If there's not a guy they like in the first round, they could trade down to the early 30s. If they like a guy, they could pick up some extra draft capital there. And I think the Ravens, they know that their free agency is going to dictate a lot of what happens in this draft for them, because the guys that they, or the positions that they don't spend on in free agency, they're going to have to spend a lot on in the draft with that capital. So there are so many possibilities for this team. It's pretty exciting to think about.
In your opinion, who would be your favorite draft pick in the first round?
There are so many guys. If I had to single out
a few. You were the GM.
Yeah, I think that if Gregory Rousseau, the edge out of Miami, fell to the Ravens, I think he'd be a great fit. He's still very raw. He hasn't played the position a ton, but his last season at Miami before opting out in 2020 was phenomenal. And if he can hone in on those traits, and if the Ravens can work with him, I mean, he'd be an absolutely phenomenal fit for this team. And then moving on to a couple guys in the second round, I know might be available. I know Creed Humphrey is someone who Ravens fans are in love with, the center out of Oklahoma. I think he'd be great. A guy in the later rounds I like is Des Fitzpatrick, a wide receiver from LSU. He has played with Lamar Jackson before. During Lamar Jackson's freshman year there, they had a really nice rapport. Or during Des Fitzpatrick's freshman year, they had a really nice rapport together. And I think that for Baltimore, so many different guys. Rashad Bateman is someone a lot of people like in the first round as a wide receiver target for Lamar Jackson. So again, the possibilities are endless here for this Ravens team.
Yeah. In which round would you make some draft picks to the interior defensive line, reinforce them? Because
Brandon Williams, Clayus Campbell. Yeah, Brandon Williams and Clayus Campbell, and even Derek Wolfe, you know, they're not young. They're all over 30. So for the Ravens, I think using the available draft capital they have, maybe in the sixth round, if they get some picks in the sixth round or later in the draft, I think they could use on some guys. They have Justin Madubuike and Roderick Washington that they can use who they drafted. But I think overall this team, you know, the interior defensive line is an underrated sneaky need for them because they need to draft the future. And I think if a guy like Christian Barmore from Alabama is available in the first round, they could take a swing there and just say, hey, we're going to revamp this line now and be dominant on the interior. But I think for me, I'd look to the middle rounds, maybe 4, 5, 6 for that need.
Yeah. And turning our face to the 2021 season, which is the expectations in your mind of this Ravens team going ahead with a better Lamar Jackson, better offensive line, and improved defense? The ceiling is quite high.
It is. And I think, you know, the Ravens trust their guys. They've shown that with the coaching staff, with the players. And this is a season for me that's make or break for a lot of people. The coaching staff is one of them. I think that if they don't advance past the divisional round, we could see some big changes happening because, you know, mediocrity, success, you know, all that stuff comes, and it comes, and you're not bad, you're not awful, you're not 0-16, but if you're not advancing and making progress, that's my main thing. If you're seeing visible progress from this team, you know, I'm all for it. Keep the guys around, grow and build on that. But right now, the expectation is that Baltimore needs to advance past the divisional round, and the roster they have right now is very talented. Once Lamar Jackson gets on his big extension, it's going to be tough to field a team. You know, big quarterback extensions can do that. And so can you build a team around Lamar Jackson now that can advance to an AFC championship game or to the Super Bowl? And Lamar Jackson has plenty of years left ahead of him, plenty of very, very good years left ahead of him. But for this Ravens team, do they go out and do they be aggressive? And I think that's the main concern. So in 2021, the talent is going to be there. And I think the Ravens have a decently easy schedule. It's not all that easy, but it's decently easy. And so for the Ravens, they have to go out there and prove that, hey, we're growing. You know, our players are growing, our team is growing, the coaching staff are growing. That's all really important to me. So I'm going to say my expectation is the Ravens advance at least to the divisional round. And then anything past that AFC Championship Super Bowl shows me the growth this team needs.
Do you see Greg Roman processing a little bit in the passing game too?
I do. I think with Keith Williams and T. Martin, the guys they hired, they are both guys who can help out this offense a lot. And with David Culley now in Houston, we'll see how much of an impact he had on this Ravens passing offense. But with the talent they'll get from free agency in the draft, and I think those guys will help Greg Roman out a lot, T. Martin and Keith Williams. I think those guys are going to be really good additions to this coaching staff. So overall, yeah, this is a team that I think is going to have a better passing offense in 2021.
Pittsburgh or Cleveland will be the toughest opponent in the division.
I think it's Cleveland. I've been on the Cleveland train here for a while now. I think they are a phenomenal football team. I've been on record saying that, hey, this team is no joke now, and you have to respect them. And I think that is true. Pittsburgh is kind of on the downfall, the downswing for me. They have a bunch of guys in free agency they're probably not going to be able to bring back. And, you know, who knows what Ben Roethlisberger is going to be with another year under his belt. So I think Cleveland has all the pieces. They have young talent everywhere, along with some nice veterans. So I think Cleveland is the Ravens' toughest opponent in that division, definitely.
And the expectations for the Bengals?
I think the Bengals are going to take a jump. Over the next few years, we'll see them take a jump. They have some money to spend in free agency. If they get their offensive line right and can protect Joe Burrow, that's the number one thing. Protect your young quarterback for Joe Burrow. I think that's the key concern for them. And getting some pieces on defense as well, but they certainly have the money. They have an elite wide receiver room, and I think that they are going to be some players for years to come. The AFC North is going to be a tough division for plenty of seasons here in the future.
Yeah, it will be tough to contain this crown. Do you see, realistically, the Baltimore Ravens winning the championship of the AFC North?
I think it'll be between Cleveland and Baltimore. I think it'll honestly come down to one game between the two. I think I'd give the slight edge to Baltimore right now, but this is honestly before free agency, before the draft, so it's very early right now. But I think Cleveland, they're going to be a good team, and we could see something a few years ago, like we saw with Kansas City in Los Angeles with the Chargers, where Kansas City, I can't remember the exact records. I think they were 13-3 and Los Angeles was 12-4. So, you know, two good teams, but only one can win the division. And right now I'll pick Baltimore.
Do you see them winning 13 games?
Baltimore, I could see it. I think their ceiling right now is 14, I think 14-2. And then I think their floor is probably around 9-7, all things injuries and whatnot considered. But I'd go more towards, you know, well, actually, it depends with the 17th game. So, you know, they could go 13-4 or 12-5, which are weird things to say right now. But I think 11 to 13 wins is, I think, my area right now for this team.
Yeah, it will be a great season if they can win above 11 games, I think.
Yeah, and I think they will.
Yeah, and it is realistic that if the offense progresses, they will have a great campaign in 2021. So, that's all for today. Thank you, Kevin, for joining us and sharing your thoughts about the Baltimore Ravens. It was a great talk, great chat, and it was a pleasure to have you on the show. I really think it was as good, and I hope you enjoyed it too.
Absolutely, I did. Thank you so much for having me. It was an honor to talk on here with you. Thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you for our listeners, and hope you will join us next time. Thank you, Kevin, and have a good day. Have a nice day. Thank you.
Thanks so much. Bye.